this evening to look at both of these psalms. Both of them are fairly long psalms. I'm not going to look at them in any great detail. We want to look at them in overview and how they relate to one another. So the majority of the time we're going to look at Psalm 105. And you'll be thinking, well, we should be ending about now, and then we'll only be starting 106. But just to assure you that Psalm 106 is very, fairly short, a lot shorter than our time with Psalm 105. Well, these two psalms, Psalm 105 and 106, belong to a group of psalms known as remembrance psalms or historical psalms, history psalms. Psalms which call to remembrance the works of God in the history of his people. These two psalms, 105 and 106, they make a pair. They complement one another because they both deal with the same period of history, but they're written from two very different perspectives. The psalm that we sang just a moment ago, Psalm 78, it's also a remembrance psalm, a history psalm. And it's one which blends together the different themes of 105 and 106. And Psalm 78 emphasizes not only the need to remember the works of God, his acts in history, but also the need to teach these things to others, to pass them on, to pass them on to the next generation, to pass on these truths to our young people, so that they too will come to learn about God, to learn of his works, and see the wonderful works of our God. Now, I'm not sure how some of you think about history. I struggled with history when I was at school. I was almost dyslexic. I kept mixing up World War I and World War II. For the life of me, I just couldn't figure out which one was which. But history can fascinate some people, and it can be a real bore to others. But here we have a history that we should be interested in, and we should be excited about it, because it is the history of our God at work. And I want to look at each of these psalms in turn. First of all, Psalm 105. Psalm 105 tells us all about God's faithfulness. Then in Psalm 106, we see the unfaithfulness of God's people, Israel's unfaithfulness. Psalm 105 tells us the story from Abraham to the time when they enter into the promised land. The story is told all from the perspective, all from the point of view of God's faithfulness to his people. And it's because of his covenant, the covenant that he has made with his people. 106 covers the same period, but it's from the point of view of Israel's unfaithfulness to that same covenant. So first of all, Psalm 105, this remembrance psalm begins with praise. In the first place, God's people are to remember, first of all, rejoice in the works of God. Rejoice in the works of God. Verses 1 to 5. Give thanks, says the psalmist. Give thanks to God and celebrate his rule over history, his sovereign dealings, his sovereignty over all things, and his faithfulness throughout that history towards his people. He has been faithful to his people Israel in the past, but his faithfulness continues on to his people as time moves on, and his faithfulness is seen in the present day, and he will continue to be faithful to his people into the future. And that faithfulness, his faithfulness, should move us to thanksgiving and to praise. And as the psalmist says, give thanks unto the Lord. We see it again and again in the scriptures, and particularly in the book of Psalms. Whenever the Lord's people come to him and they cry out to him because of their need, they come to him with some great discouragement, some difficulty in their lives. And it's seen again and again in the Psalms. All but one, Psalm 88, when the psalmist comes and is crying out in his need, in his desperation to God, what happens is, if you look at the psalm, he begins to think about God has dealt with him in the past. He begins to think about the works of God in the past, and that begins to work in him. It takes his focus away from his situation, puts the focus upon God. He starts to see it in a completely different perspective, and he starts to think about God, and he starts to think about the works of God, and all of a sudden you see the psalm starting to turn, his mood starting to completely turn around, and he begins to become encouraged, and he begins to be strengthened and revitalized. He's filled with hope, with expectation. He looks to the new mercies from God's hands. The whole situation in his head, not necessarily in his circumstances, but his perspective of everything has completely been turned around. And apart from Psalm 88, every psalm that begins in a cry of desperation, a plea to God, ends in thanksgiving and praise. And it's because he's looked back. He's looked to God, and he's looked to the works of God. This Psalm 105, 106, they're not just history lessons, and we look and we see the sweep of history and God's dealings with his people, and we think, well, that's very good, that's very nice, and we just file it away. It calls for us to respond to his works. First of all, to give thanks to the Lord, to consider God's plan, God's working out of his plan, his purposes carried out throughout the Old Testament, but also from our own position in history, we can look back and see how his plans and his purposes in the Old Testament were all preparation and then the fulfillment in the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. God's plans and purposes don't just reach back into the Old Testament, they stretch right back even into eternity. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that his plan of salvation stretches right back into eternity. He chose his people, he loved his people before the foundation of the world. And so when we look back on the works of God, on his plans, on his purposes, they should stir us up, and we ought to remember to rejoice and to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks, and then in verse 3, we're to glory in his name. We're to call out his name. When it talks about God's name, his holy name, it's a reference to his character. When he makes his name known, he makes some aspect of his work or some aspect of his character known to his people. We know him by his works. So we're to praise him on who he has revealed himself to be in his name, in his names, who he is and what he has done for his people. Again it says to give thanks, to give glory to his name, and we're to make known his deeds among the peoples. We're to tell others about his wonderful works, his work of salvation. Tell it among the peoples. Tell it to others. The word is plural. We're not just they weren't just to tell it to Israel. They were to tell it to the peoples, to tell it beyond. It's not just something for the Jews. It's also for the Gentiles. God made that clear in his plan right from the very beginning, that he was going to bless Abraham, but through Abraham to the ends of the earth. It's for Jew, for Gentile. It's not just for Protestant. It's for Roman Catholic, for Muslim, for atheist, for religious people, and for ungodly people. We're to tell them about God's wonderful works. So we're to sing his praise, we're to glory in his name, and we're to look to him, verse 4, we're to look to him and we're to seek his face. We're to keep close fellowship with him as we remember him, as we rejoice in his works. And when we do so, we will be strengthened, we will be encouraged that what God has done for his people in the past, he has done for us, and he will continue to do it for us. So we're to rejoice in the works of our God. Secondly, the psalmist reviews the works of God. And this takes up the major part of the psalm. Verses 6 right through to verse 44. In verses 7 to 15, he recalls God's covenant with his people. He made his covenant with Abraham. He confirmed it with Isaac and with Jacob. And in this covenant, God promised that he was going to give them a land. He was going to give them the land of Canaan. He chose Israel, this people, to be his people. He chose it for himself, and he committed himself to them in this covenant. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And verses 6 to 44 relate his dealings with them. It shows us his faithfulness to his covenant that he had made with them. And God still chooses people. He calls men and women, young people, to faith in Christ by grace. He adopts us into his family. He makes us to be his children. And when he does so, he is totally committed to us. He is totally committed. He has made this covenant with us. Very different in some ways from the old covenant, in that this new covenant that he makes with his people, he has sealed it with the blood of his own son. And so all his dealings with us, the rough as well as the smooth, demonstrate his faithfulness to us, his faithfulness to the covenant, his faithfulness to his promises in the covenant. And in verses 7 to 15, the psalmist emphasizes God's acts to preserve his people, to keep them. The Lord preserves his people equally today. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, we are kept. We are being guarded. We are being preserved by the power of God through faith for salvation. We are being kept, guarded for salvation. The believer is being kept secure, preserved, protected by the grace and power of God. Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus. And verses 16 to 36 in Psalm 105 tell us of Israel's time in Egypt, her leaving Egypt, the Exodus, and God's faithfulness to Joseph, and his faithfulness to his people through Joseph, how he used that situation to preserve his people and to keep them and to deliver them. And then the final section in verses 37 to 44, it's a review of God's work in the wilderness. Once they'd left Egypt and they traveled in the wilderness on their journey to Canaan, to the promised land, and we're told there about these three miracles of God's provision through this, during this time in the wilderness. The first, the cloud for protection from the desert sun during the day, the cloud of fire by night giving them light. The second miracle, the provision of food, quail and manna. And then thirdly, water from the rock. God preserves his people. God protects his people and looks after them. And the psalm closes recalling God's promise to Abraham in verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He remembered his holy promise. He remembered what he promised to Abraham, and he remembered his servant Abraham. And God's working out of that promise under Moses in verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. And then God's fulfillment of the promise, giving them the land in verse 44. And he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. So this great sweep of history, the promise, and then how he brings them to the land of promise. God keeps his covenant. God keeps his promises. The psalmist says, remember these things. Remember his marvelous works which he has done on behalf of his people, which he has done for you and for me. Review his works. Look back over them. See how he has been faithful. See how he has preserved his people. See how he's done it in the past. See how he has done it for you and me. And then finally, the psalm ends with verse 45. And the psalmist gives us here the reason for God's works. The reason for God's works. Why has God acted in this way for his people? Why has he done these things? What's the reason for his work of redemption, his work of salvation? In verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. It's as if the psalmist is saying, look at all these things. Look at what God has done for us. Look what he's done for his people. God has been faithful to you. Now, are you going to be faithful to him? Matthew Henry, on this verse says, we are made, maintained, and redeemed that we may live in obedience to the will of God. And the hallelujah, this praise ye the Lord that the psalm ends with which it concludes, it may be taken both as a thankful acknowledgement of God's favours and as a cheerful concurrence with this great intention of them. Has God done so much for us? And yet does he expect so little from us? How will we respond to God's works, to God's salvation, to his faithfulness? Will we be faithful to him? And that brings us into Psalm 106. In Psalm 78, Asaph says, teach your children the works of God and teach them to keep his commandments so that they may not be like their fathers. Teach them these things so that they'll not be like their fathers, like our forefathers in the faith. Psalm 105 is all about God's faithfulness. Psalm 106 is all about Israel's unfaithfulness. And just as Psalm 105 says that God's works should inspire us to praise and thanksgiving, Psalm 106 also calls for praise and giving thanks, demonstrated by trusting in God and keeping his ways, obedience to his ways. Psalm 106 is also a remembrance psalm, a history psalm, a psalm to inspire us to serve God more faithfully in the future than has been the case of the Lord's people in the past. If we take the trouble to sit down and really think about the Lord's faithfulness to us, his mercies towards us, his blessings upon us, and we think about these things, and the more that we think about them, we'll all very soon become all too well aware of how unfaithful we have been to him in return. But as we contemplate his works for Israel and his works for us in bringing us to salvation, in preserving us through thick and thin. It ought to stir up within us a new determination to be better stewards of our lives in serving him. I want to look just very briefly at Psalm 106 in two parts. First part is praise, the part that we read, and the second part is confession. First of all, the praise, it's in verses 1 to 5. One commentator says, "For all its exposure of man's ingratitude, this is a song of praise." It's a psalm about the ingratitude of man, but it is also a song of praise, for it is God's extraordinary long-suffering that emerges as the real theme behind this psalm. In Psalm 105, we are to praise God for his marvelous works, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth. In Psalm 106, we are to praise God for his mighty acts despite the sin of his people against him. His mighty acts despite the sin of his people against him. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Alexander McLaren says the history of God's past is a record of continuous mercies. The history of man's past is one of continuous sin. And Psalm 106 is basically that. It's a catalogue of sins committed by God's people. And yet it begins with praise. It begins with praise. How come? Well, it's because alongside this long list of sins that is given, there is also, along with it, a long list of the Lord's continuing faithfulness. Faithfulness despite the unfaithfulness of his people. He is to be thanked. He is to be praised because he is good, because he is merciful, because he is long-suffering, because he is patient with us, because his compassion endures forever. Our guilty consciences make us want to hide in the bushes, pretend he's not there, pretend that we think, well, he must be sore with us because of what we've done. The devil wants us to think that he holds a grudge against us, that we have somehow spoiled the relationship beyond repair. But the scriptures tell us that he does not deal with us as our sins deserve. Psalm 32, when we acknowledge and confess our sins, God forgives the iniquity of our sin. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And sometimes it might be that we stop confessing our sin. We stop speaking to God because we think that God isn't pleased with us, that he's fed up with our continual backsliding and our unfaithfulness. Psalm 106, and throughout the scriptures it tells us that that is never, ever the case. There are two lists in Psalm 106, a list of sins, but also a list of God's faithfulness. He is a merciful God. He is rich in mercy. He is slow to anger. He is long suffering, which is why Psalm 106 is a psalm of praise, because God is kind and God is good. He does discipline his children. He does correct us. He does challenge us, but he will never, ever throw us out of the home. Verse 3 tells us the best way that we can praise God. That is by obeying him. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. If we want to praise him, if we truly want to praise the Lord and to thank him for all that he has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ, then we'll simply obey him. For verses 6 to 46, the end of the psalm, this is the confession. And here's the great contrast with the Lord's faithfulness in verse 6. We have sinned. We have sinned. But not just once. We've sinned again and again and again. And our disobedience shows how ungrateful we are for all that the Lord has done for us and is doing for us, because he always continues to be faithful. Faithful to his promises and faithful to his covenant. This list here in verses 7 to 39 gives a catalogue of sin that covers the time of the Israelites, from the time that they leave Egypt, their years of wandering in the wilderness, and then when they enter into the promised land. It's the same period that's covered in Psalm 105. But this time the psalmist is illustrating again and again the unfaithfulness of God's people in each of these events. We see again and again that the Lord delivers them. He answers their prayer, but then the next thing, they're complaining, they're murmuring about something else. And how much we're so like them. He saves us, he delivers us, he answers our prayers, and then we forget him, and then we complain about one thing and another. And the psalm ends with this great contrast to their behavior, verses 43 and 44. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Many times he delivered them. He regarded their affliction. The faithfulness of God, it's there from the beginning right through to the end. Our God is merciful. Our God is faithful. This is why the psalm ends in such a positive note. Verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. To our God be all the praise, the glory and the honour. Amen. Let's conclude as we sing his praise.